Okay, good evening, everyone. It's November, I think, 8th, 2021. Topic for tonight's shiur, it's probably like the one to deal with, like the ethical considerations of Yaakov stealing the brachot. This past week's parsha was Parshas Toldos. So we're going to discuss, ideas I'm sure that many of you have also discussed at your own Shabbos tables in the past. We're going to start with maybe a classical approach of how I learned to answer that question, maybe in second grade by the Radak and the Chizkuni. Give that approach, and we'll then maybe I wanted to share an idea by Rav Hirsch. I wanted to end off with an idea that I heard just recently from Rav Forman. But along the way, we'll discuss, ideas of like what exactly did Yitzchak have a misconception of Esav? Did he know reality? And did he really, know what type of son Esav was? We'll discuss the nature of the brachot, which again, ideas probably that you guys have heard in the past too. But we'll touch on, the bracha that that Yaakov received, the first bracha when he's standing in front of his father, dressed as Esav. But then there's another bracha, again, he receives at the end of the parsha, when his father knows that he's speaking to Yaakov. And we'll see that inside, but that's an idea probably that people have heard. But we're going to talk about ideas, maybe not. I'll give you three reasons maybe why Rivka didn't maybe share, maybe the nevuah that she had with her husband. We'll talk about Yitzchak's blindness. So ideas like that over the course of this year. We'll talk also about this Baravia Vot Sa'ir, and the older will serve the younger. Is that as clear? Is that Nevuah? This is also something I just learned this week. Is that Nevuah as clear as we always thought? Okay, so let's get started. Hopefully, like I said, there were ideas that you probably heard before, but hopefully, like we said, Ein Beis Medrash Belo Chiddush, and there'll be some new ideas too. So the way that I was taught, in elementary school, and the way I think it should be taught, in elementary school, is that is with the background of the beginning of the parsha. So I'm not going to read it, but we all know, and the two things happen at the beginning of the parsha. One is Rivka going to Lidroshet Hashem and gets the nevuah that really there are two nations, Shnei Goyim Bevitneich, Shnei Lumim Mimayichi Paredu. There's two separate nations. You're having twins. They're going to divide up. They're not one people, but they're two separate nations. The Rabbi Avod Tzair, and the older, the first one is going to serve the younger. So that's one thing we see at the beginning of the parsha. The second thing we see right after, also at the very beginning of the parsha, is Esav coming back from the Sadeh and coming, and he's very him selling the bechora for a bowl of lentils. So therefore, with that idea, those two ideas of the nevuah and already Esav selling the bechora to Yaakov, also along with source 2, where you have Rashi, where it says that Yaakov loved Esav kitzayed b'fiv. So Rashi says what? Because he was giving him some venison, he loved Esav. No, but it's your dad said he knew how to hunt. He knew how to trick his father with his words. V'sholo abba ha'eichem. Everyone knows his ha'eich master and his amelech. V'sateven. How do you give trumas and maizus on salt on straw? So his father thought because of aviv shu medakdek b'mitzvos. So with that, his father has a misconception of Esav. Esav sold the bechora in the beginning of the parsha to his brother, Yaakov. The mother has a nevuah, Veravia Avot Sa'ir. So I'm not bothered in second grade that they might use some deceitful methods of trying when the father Yitzchak is, at the end of the parsha is older, and they use this trick in order to get the bracha. Because again, the bracha deserved to him because he had it was sold to him, the bechora, and he had the nevuah, and his father was in misconception. We have that. I'll just to show it to you, and then Didi will take your question. We see in source 3, the Radak says, Yeshmaim, Ha'ech Yaakov, Shreya Tzadik, Virir Lokim, Di Besheker. How did he, you know, say the lie? It's on the Pasuk of Anochi Esav Bechorecha. So he said, so the answer is, Ki Metzulas Imo Yaita. So Rav Tamchum from the, you know, talked about it. It was, you know, not everything is always so black and white. And he has his mother, you know, is telling him, is commanding him to do something. And there's an ethic to follow that. But there's an ethic not to deceive your, you know, your older blind father, you know, and how to juggle that. And, but also he says, V'gam nevuah haita. So, but he's playing the Radak plays the Nevuah card. And the Chizkuni, says, why can he get Kach Amar Lo? He didn't lie, Anochi Esav Bechorecha. He really meant to say, Anochi B'makom Esav Bechorecha. Sharei Kfar Machar Li Eta Bechora, because he's already sold me the Bechora. So I'm in the place. Okay. So that was the approach to, and again, I think that approach in second grade, there are good, you know, Rivka and Yaakov are the good guys. Esav is the Russia. He's fooling his father. We already know this background that maybe his father doesn't know of the Nevuah and of the selling of the Bechora. So there's really nothing ethically wrong with what they do because Yaakov is supposed to get the Bracha. Yeah.
זה לא שאלה, זה הערה. דבר אחד על ורב יעבוד צעיר, אני לא בטוח שראיתי זה איפשהו, שזה רעיון שלי לפני המון המון שנים.
Right.
המשפט הזה בעצמו הוא דו-משמעי. יש שתי אפשרויות. רב יעבוד את הצעיר, הצעיר יעבוד את הרב.
But you are...
יכול להיות שרבקה ויצחק בדיוק התווכחו על הפירוש
שלו. Right, beautiful. I mean, if you want to, I wasn't gonna jump there yet, but to play the... Didi is saying to play the Nevuah card. The Nevuah is not so clear, and then because look at source 15 exactly. Rav Hirsch says is going to say exactly source 15. The Amik, I'm not Netziv. I'm sorry, is going to say exactly in the Amik Dover in source 15 exactly what Didi said, that the Lashon is not so clear. I only learned it this week. I always thought Rav Yavod Tzair means the older will serve the younger, but then he says no. Amar Hashem Lashon. The Mishtama betray Ape. It can really be go either way. Because if you meant that the older will serve the younger, what should it have said? It should have said, Barav Yavod Latzair. It should have said, right. And if it was the opposite, right, then it should have said, Barav Yavod Batzair, that the older will work, you know, will work the younger one. So, but it doesn't say it Latzair. It doesn't say Bat Sair. It just says Rav Yavod Sair. It really can go Atam Mashmo Bishnei Ofanim. It can really go either way because it's not said with a lamed or a bet. Aval Eichshu Eched Yavod Hasheni V'Zetuloy Lifi Hashah. Depending on, you know, I guess we're saying how the just let me just finish because 16 and 17 is the same thought, and then Yitz will take your question. The Radak also says V'Yaneh Dava Mesupak. Vlober mi yavod et chaveiro. He says it's a little unclear. I never really realized that. Harav et atzair or atzair tarav. The Chizkuni even says. Yes. And the good point. And the and 17. The Chizkuni brings down. I think that first the pshat that we just talked about is a little unclear. But then he brings the Dover Acher. You know, he says. Harbe Yavod Tzair. He does it just the opposite. It's not that the older will serve the younger, but greatly will the younger serve. Meaning Klai Yisrael will harbe greatly, you know, v'rav, rav for a great time. And most of our, you know, let's say in history, in political history, the you know, rav for a great time, Yavod Tzair, the Jewish nation, the younger people, the descendants of Yaakov, will be worked. Well, you know, Yavod Tzair. So the pulling out, that was the sources 15, 16, 17, pulling out the Nevuah card I wanted to show was not so clear. The other point is even if, but the question still stands, because even if you pulled the Nevuah card, and if it was clear, Rabbi Foreman, you know, started his essay, he says, look, and I'll just say his example. If Hashem came to you in a Nevuah and said that, you know, you're going to be president of the United States, right? So you wake up the next morning and you start a you announce your candidacy and you start a pack and you research the issues and you start giving speeches, you know, and everything's going. But if you knew that on the day of the election, right, and maybe the polling says that you're down, but you can bribe someone computer-wise to switch votes into your favor, is that what Hashem wants? I think Hashem, he was saying, Hashem wants you to, look, that's in your hands, Hashem. You gave me a nevuah. I did everything in my power to fulfill the nevuah, but to cross that line, you know, who says just because you had a nevuah that gives you the right to act that way? He thought not.
You might say that Yitzchak hit upon the ambiguity with his last bracha to Esau.
Okay.
Where he says, "Val chavrcha tichya," but when Yaakov misbehaves,
you will gain shlita. It's a twofold meaning. It can go either way. I think that's excellent. I think it can go either way.
אבל זה דומה למה שרמב"ן מסביר בסיפור של יוסף ואחיו.
אוקיי.
שם הוא אומר שיוסף צריך להגשים את החלום, לא נבואה בדיוק, את החלומות שלו. הוא עושה מעשים שהחלומות התקיימו, ועל זה יש ויכוח בעצמו.
Yes, right. Was Yosef justified to, you know, it's not in Yosef, you know, he has to act properly, and it's not his job to make sure that the dreams, you know, or act in a way that maybe, you know, could be caused sour to people to make his dreams come true. Maybe that's not that could be a fool.
It's a good argument. Okay. They also say he was trying to see if they had amended their ways in sticking up for Binyamin.
Absolutely. I learned. I mean, we're not. You know, that's a whole nother thing about. And I think, you know, why didn't? That's a whole nother topic, right? You know, of why he didn't when he came to power notify his father. And I'm sure you guys have discussed that also. But again, if he wants to mend the family, right? What? Oh, okay. I agree. Yeah, right. So, you know, and if he would have, it would have destroyed the family. You know, if all of a sudden his father knew that his brothers, you know, sold him, you know, there would be that's it. You know, and his job was to try to put a little selling between friends, you know, into slavery. Okay, so that was where I am, and now we're on source 5. So source 5 is some ideas, I guess, you know, from Rav Meidan, but it was, instead of taking Rashi's point, he's just saying that Yitzchak loved Esav Kitzayed Befiv, and Rashi learned it, he was halachically he was tricked. You know, and he thought he was a tzaddik. So it was more that, according to Rav Meidan, he loved Yitzchak, loved Esav for the following reasons. And he starts off in source 5. Where Avimelech in our parsha is coming from Grar to Be'er Sheva, where Yaakov is, and is now asking for a treaty. And Yaakov says, you know, why are you coming now? You kicked me out of Grar when I was successful there. Yitzchak says to Avimelech, you know, why are you coming now? You kicked me out from Grar. I got chased from Grar, he says, to Rehovah. And then Rehovah, and I got chased to Be'er Lachai Ru'i. And then I'm in Be'er Sheva. Now you coming? So according to Rav Meidan, the reason why Avimelech was coming now to make a brit was because of Esav. Because Esav now is growing up. Esav has in the next source when Yaakov after 20 years is trying to come back to, you know, to his brother, and it says Esav is coming to greet him. Va'arba me'ot ishimo. Esav has amassed a little bandit army of ruffians of 400 people, and it was Esav that was now felt, according to Rav Meidan, look, I saw my father get kicked from this place to this place to this place. You know, I'm kicking back. You know, and he won, and then all of a sudden, you know, Avimelech sees Esav and his 400 men kicking back. That's what brought Avimelech to make a peace treaty with Yitzchak, and that's why Yitzchak loved Esav, because in Yitzchak's mind, this model of fighting the wars of the family is a model also of another Ish Admoni, David HaMelech, who at the pasuk in source 7 says, "Vayishlach Rabbi Avuhu Admoni im yafei inayim betov ra'ui," when Shmuel was coming to Yishai to anoint one of Yishai's son, and it ended up being David Melech, and David is also described just like Esav as being red-haired, and David also, according to Rabbi Nathan, he quotes the pasuk, also gathered for himself arba me'ot ish, and was taking revenge on the plishtim and the surrounding. So according to Rav Meidan, the perception that Yitzchak had and the reason why he loved Esav so much, because he thinks Esav, not because the guy tricked him with a halacha question of truma, but he thinks, he looks at Esav and he thinks Esav is a David HaMelech.
What? I think Yitzhak's love for Esau was qualified. It says Yitzhak loved Esau because,
right?
And then it says Rivka loved Yaakov.
Just, I agree. Well, I picked that up on that too, unconditionally. But what do you mean b'tayi b'fid? You loved him just because he gave you food?
No, because his vision of a leader of Am Yisrael.
Excellent.
Needed somebody who was a statesman,
right,
who could
lie, stand up,
his teeth and get everybody to vote,
and can
for
stand
him.
Up, right, and can stand up. So Esav, right? So Esav, he loved him because Esav is someone. Because again, according to that, and we'll get to that. According to that idea, he never knew that it's Shnei Lu'umim. It's two nations. He thought both Yaakov and Esav are going to be it's one. Yisachar, Zvulun, beautiful. It's one family. So if I'm going to give, who's going to be the political leader, and deserve a physical bracha according in that model? These are ideas that you've probably heard. It's going to be the person like an Esav who can stand up for the rights of the family. It's not going to be some yeshiva guy who's sitting and learning, in the OL. It's not, it goes much more appropriately to Esav.
Rav Medan
is yeah.
Ze kol kach Rav Medan. Yeah. Ze rak Rav Medan.
Okay.
All the Tanakh is open. You can go here and there, yeah. Backward. Yeah. אפשר להגיד דבר כזה. אפשר ללכת אחורה.
Right.
שיש את דוד ולהגיד דוד אדמוני. גם עשיו היה אדמוני. 400 איש. Yitzchak lo yoshev ve'roeh et David.
Right. I was just saying.
Yitzchak didn't know Tanakh.
Right.
But it's also, Right. So I think he was saying in 9. Right. So I think he said also in 9. Okay, sometimes, the Chazal take Bilam HaRusha, even more from the text, but they label, it's the Russia. And it could be Esav HaRusha more than what the text can say. He's the bad guy, but you take, especially you took source 9, which is a Gemara in Baba Batra, Daf Tet Zayin.
I just want to make a comment, though. Yeah. Rav Meidan, the word Bepiv is not clear. It's like Kishua Yatzayat.
Right, they say right. Befiv. So I guess he's guarding the flock. The flocks and then. Right.
Dad says that he lost his. He went from being a wealthy man. Esau brought the tzayin back to that he kept his family.
Or he allowed the family from getting pushed around. And then allowed them the monetary wealth.
Except for the fact that he wasn't 15 years old yet when that pasuk was written. Rav Yavutzari was before his bar mitzvah.
Okay. Okay.
Tzai Beviv, Tzai Beviv was before his bar mitzvah.
Right. Okay.
He didn't conquer anybody.
Right. No, but at the time of the brachot, he was 63 years old. He was 63 years old. So that can be. So in source 9, it's the Gemara in Baba Batra Tet Zayin, which describes on that day, like 5 averot, to Esav, 5 averot, and he wants to also show. Yeah, he was Boel and Aram Urasa, and he killed someone. He kafar beikar, and he was kafar betchias amesim, and he was the bechora, and there are word allusions, in the Gemara for all of them. But according to Rav Meidan, maybe the allusions come from this model of. He wanted to say that maybe a David or many of in charge of 400 bandits, but more importantly, an Esav in charge of 400 bandits. It's very easy to lose your way, and if you're raiding a town, then you can steal, rape, pillage, plunder. All those averas that he's doing, seemed to flow because he was this raider of all these other towns, and it would be very easy to slip into that mode, and it takes a very special person like a David to operate that way without slipping into those Averot. Okay, so if this is true, that the perception, let's say, of Yitzchak for Yaakov, Yitzchak's perception of Esav, I'm sorry, was that he was a tzaddik, either because of the questions that he asked, or because I thought he was in the model of like a David HaMelech fighting for us, then it's really a misconception. It's wrong. And then the question is, why did Yitzchak fall prey to that misconception? That would be the next source that and I went to Rashi. Why didn't he see his son for what he was? So it could be, and Rashi is saying, why did Yitzchak go blind? So Rashi quotes Medrash Dover Acher, Kishena Akar al Gabe HaMizbeach. When Yitzchak was on the Mizbeach, Vaya Aviv Rotzel Lishchoto. So and Avram Avinu was going to shecht him, but also Shah Niftachu Shemayim and Varo Malche Hashareis. The angels were crying because they said, this is not the angels who are representing, the Mida Emet. A son is looking into his father's face. The father is ready to kill him. Is about to kill him, and is nothing's holding him back, and is going to kill him. So, but the angels are crying and saying, this is not the natural. This is not the way it should be. A father should be loving and embracing, their son. Shouldn't be shechting their son. So they're crying, saying, this is not the natural order of the way it should be. Though that idea that this is not the natural order that a father should do this to a son was burned into and seared into Yitzchak's eyes, and that's what blinded him. Not so much physically. Yes, for the story to happen, he was blind physically, but that medrash might be alluding to that experience of that Yitzchak had blind him emotionally to ever reject a child. No matter, he couldn't see those faults in a child, because he had to love that child, because he didn't want, he saw what a rejected child almost, almost would be, even though it was a loving relationship, and maybe that, that couldn't. No, they were, there was a loving relationship, but again, it's an expression of what the Malachim were saying. They were crying because this is not the way of how a father should react, should treat their son. So Yitzchak was hypersensitive to that reality of how to treat lovingly a son, so lovingly that he would never reject the son, and didn't, he was blind, not just physically, but maybe emotionally. And maybe that, I was just trying to bring that, maybe that's why he couldn't see his son Esav for what he was, and he was fooled into thinking he was a tzaddik or a David HaMelech.
I understand.
This is under the. I'm following the flow now. We're going to get to that when he understood him in truth. I'm explaining the idea of when Esav is the Esav.
He never said he was
excited. Okay. But
Rabbi Rosenzweig gave an interesting take on that with the Malachim.
Yeah.
That Yitzchak was blinded. That he saw that Esav, on a day-to-day basis, necessarily wasn't on Yaakov's level.
Right.
But he thought that maybe our whole lives build up to this one moment where you're going to be tested on
like
the
an
level,
Akedah.
Like the Akedah.
Uh-huh.
And your whole failure or success is, can you stand up to that moment?
Right.
And that's what he was, and he saw that in Esav, that he had because of this strength. Power or strength that he had, that he could do that.
He can do that.
Even though
he wasn't there now.
And Yaakov
was ahead of him now when he wasn't there now. But eventually,
on a day-to-day, let's say Yaakov was slow and steady. Right. Esau was the guy who could really shatter the world.
And make something like that. So 11, was just trying to say how the eyes, that expression which the Parsha uses, of that Yitzchak's eyes, Vatechiana Einav Me'erot, were dim, is also used by Eli. And again, Eli didn't, appreciate, his children, and the faults and the faults of the children. He didn't see the faults of the children. Just like I'm saying, emotionally, Yitzchak didn't see the faults of Esav. And then source 12 was just saying Tzayid was he was less like a David, but more like a Nimrod. Where's Gibor Tzayid, Lifnei Hashem? And Nimrod, we say, is, you know, was when it says, you know, Yish Am Echad, it's not, it's Am Shel Echad. He was a dictator. It was my way or the highway, or else you get thrown into the Kifshon Ha'esh. It wasn't unity. It was, you know,
Yeah. אלא אולי בגלל שהם לא ראו את החטאים, העיניים קרו, כי בשני המקרים זה קרה אחרי. הייתי זקן יצחק והתכן היה לראות, רק אז קורא עיניו פאות ואז הברכות, אבל הסיפור של הלידה וההתנהגות היה לפני, ואצל אלי בוודאי שזה ככה. לא לפי המדרשים האלה כמובן, אבל לפי הפשט יכול להיות שזה תוצאה של ה... זה סמלי שהם לא רואים, אז הם לא רואים באמת גם.
Okay.
Okay.
We're going to get to three reasons why Rivka, you know, and the relationship between Rivka and Yitzchak, and you know, and the conversations between them. We're going to get to them very shortly at the bottom of the page.
A lack thereof.
So I guess in source 13, there's a pasuk in Yeshayahu which says, "V'nei sasom v'simcha," you know, be joyous and happy. Harog bakar v'shachotzon shech. Achol basar, eat meat, shosos yain, drink wine. Achol v'shosok kimacha namut, eat meat, drink wine for tomorrow,
and be married for tomorrow.
Right, exactly right. So it's the pasuk in Yeshayahu. So then I did that on purpose. So go back to source one, and I was just, again, treating, looking at Esav, you know, so in the beginning, you might have said, look, you might have said, yet. That you know, Esav was part of the fam, you know, was part of this covenant. And look, Klal Yisrael is moving forward. Move forward, you know. You mentioned Yisachar Zvulun. Move forward with the two of them. But we're going to see that Esav couldn't do it for the long run. He says, "Ani ayef." First of all, I always bothered me also what he's selling the Bechorah. I always pictured Esav coming in and he's dehydrated. He's starving, and then you have him over a barrel. I'll give you some food. You're about to die. You know, I'll give you some food, but you have to sell me the Bechorah. But someone pointed out that it never says. I think it was Rabbi Ari Khan. He says it never says. I think that he's hungry and thirsty. All it says is "Vuhu ayef." He was tired. He says, "Look, Esav says, like this. I know if you want me to be part, what is the Bechorah? What is the Bechorah now? Just give 1 second. Let me finish your idea anyway. What is the Bechorah now? There's no Avoda. There's no Avoda now. The Bechorah means being part of this, the Avram Avinu's family, and to try to set up this model nation, you know, it's like a mishpat and influence, you know, influence the whole world. But the family knows, or Esav knows, that from Brit Ben Abtarim, to be part of this Bechorah, and to be part of this you know, nation of Avram, it's going to be Arba Meot Shana, you know, there's going to be a lot of a long road ahead of not such a pleasant road. And he says, Ayef, this is not me. He says, Hine Anochi Holech Lamut. Lamut, off the pasuk that I read, I want to be eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow I might die. That's my philosophy. That's the you know, Hine Anochi Holech Lamut. He says, I'm an instant gratification is Esav. I'm not going to delay it 400 years for this values and, you know, of spiritual values about having this, you know, of being part of this, you know, family. So I'm tired about it. I'd rather eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow I may die. And we saw in the last pasuk, it's not being held over a barrel, because you see that even after he was fed, he leaves. Vayived Esav et haBechorah. He belittled it even after he was fed. Someone wanted to say in Lamed Daled, tell me if the grammar. It doesn't say Vayakov, Vayitain Yaakov leEsav, that he gives. Vayitain Yaakov leEsav lecha. It says Vayakov Natan leEsav. Also, maybe in the past, meaning even before this whole bracha was being sold, it was all the food and the porridge was already poured down his throat. It was already given.
So that he didn't have a time there that it was under duress.
Okay, good. Okay, so that's what I again. Okay.
זה לא פשט, אבל לפחות זה אפשרי, זה לא פשט.
I have a
ראיה.
קוראים לזה אדם הגריז,
מופיע פעם ראשונה, והאדם ידע את חווה אשתו, רש"י אומר, ידע עוד קודם שנגרש בגן עדן.
אבל
זה לא שככה צריך.
Right, okay.
There's a ראיה in the pasuk to that instant gratification concept.
Yeah.
Esau.
Yeah.
Later on, Yitzhak says, when Yaakov says, Kumna, Yitzhak says, Koko Yaakov Adayi De Esau.
Yeah.
Why? Because he said, please.
Uh huh.
Esau doesn't say, please.
Right.
Esau says, Yaakov Avi.
Right.
But he says, Haliteni No. And the other Adam said, he did say, please.
Uh huh.
So what was it? Yitzhak's Taina.
Right.
So the Taina is, by Haliteni No, it doesn't mean please. It means raw.
Uh-huh.
No, it means raw. And lentil soup is brown.
Uh-huh.
But when it's raw, it's still red.
Okay, okay.
Said, no,
a new idea.
So
just, I don't want to wait. Instant gratification.
Lentil soup is red when it's raw. It's brown when it's cooked.
Okay.
Maybe it was
You eat raw food, so what are you going to know? You eat that sushi crap.
Okay.
But cooked food is different.
Okay, so now I wanted to discuss source 14 is the Rav Hirsch. So Rav Hirsch agrees. Rav Hirsch agrees that Yitzchak had a misconception of Esav. Rav Hirsch agrees that Yitzchak was fooled into what Esav really was. And Rivka is trying as she might try to say, Yitzchak, Rivka might come to her husband and say, you don't understand. Esav's not who you think he is. And you know, and she would say it, but Yitzchak would turn to her, oh, you always had something against Esav. You love Yaakov. I see him. He's asking me these beautiful questions. You don't see that in the Beis Medrash. And he's providing for the family. You just have it out for him. You never liked him. You only liked Yaakov. So what she was saying, what can I do to convince my husband to really what the true nature of Esav really is? So Rav Hirsch says, Rakzot, this is what she had to do. Lahafkin lefanav, to demonstrate before Yitzchak, be'eza midah yecholim habriot lignov et da'ato. How easy, to what degree that a person can fool you, that your perception can be incorrect, because hinei. So what do you? Yaakov shaya ishtam hamid lefanav penei gibor tzayid. Yaakov, who's an Ish Sam, stood before you, and you thought he was Esav in Ish Sayid. You see how you got fooled? It was so easy. So therefore, Hanakel Esav, it's very easy for Esav, Shamod Lefanav Pnei Ish Tam. He can fool you, and you might think he's an Ish Tam, also a yeshiva bachar and a good guy. But look, just like I fooled you now, and you thought he was Esav when it was really Yaakov, I'm doing that to show you that don't be so set in your ways, and you might have a wrong conception, and really Esav is not the person who you really think he is. And that was the whole point. The point of the trickery, of the deception, was not to get the bracha, was to get Yaakov to understand who Esav really is. And then the charada gedola that Yitzchak felt was oh my, his walls crashing down. Oh my God, for all these years, I've been wrong all these years. I thought Esav was this, a good guy and had a certain conception of him. It's all, look, if I could be fooled by Yaakov, I'm fooled. And therefore, when he gave the bracha, when he says, Gam baruchi, yeah, after he says, he didn't withdraw the bracha from Yaakov, but now that he has the proper conception of Yitzchak and of Esav, he gave him the bracha. So there was no deception, meaning he didn't steal the bracha. He got the bracha it was confirmed on him, Gam baruch tiyah, when he knew that it was Yaakov after, and all the conception, the one we repeated, that's the line, that the bottom line was the conception was not to steal the bracha, it was just to show that Yitzchak, your perception of your children were wrong. And
Esav was not bad, it was also that you thought that Yaakov was a Nebuch.
Right.
Yaakov outsmarted Esav,
right.
And then he finds out he did it twice.
Right, excellent. Right, excellent. You thought that he couldn't get this physical bracha. He couldn't be a type of leadership role. All he does is sit in yeshiva. Look, he can work, you know, to get things done and trick you, and he tricked, you know, and do that. Excellent,
right.
Excellent.
He's the first tester
again. Right. So that's it. 15, 16, 17, we already talked about how ambiguous or what Rabbi Avot Zeir, so you can't play the prophecy card, the Nevuah card. So let's go to sources, the next few sources, 18 through 22. So what does the Torah say on this deception that Rivka and Esa, Rivka and Yaakov played on their on Yitzchak? So if you look at it right away, it says, look, Yitzchak doesn't curse, you know, and doesn't seem upset or too angry or doesn't take it back. And at the beginning of next week's Parsha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blesses Yaakov, and there's really no censure for what Yaakov just did. So it seems to say that the Torah is not really censoring this type, this type of behavior. However, the next source is saying that if the Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu can take a little bit longer arc of history and show that on the one hand, nothing beneficial came from those, he was paid back midah k'neda midah from the following sources. So it says when he went to Lavan, and just right, and then Lavan uses that word, Vayomer Lavan lo yasa kein bimkomenu, and to give the tzeira lifnei bechira. And what does that mean? In bimkomenu, we don't do that. Meaning in your area, you tricked your father and you gave the younger before the older. Here, yeah, we're not going to give the old, but he got tricked just like, but it's just like Yaakov was tricking Yitzchak. And Yitzchak was blind, didn't really see, right, and to get the bracha of the younger over the older, so too on Yaakov himself. He was tricked when he couldn't see, I guess, with the veil of his bride, and he was tricked and he got the older instead of the younger. So, you know, that trick was rebounded on him. And also, you see that when he had Yosef and his children, so he said he took the pasuk says the gzei izim, right? The pasuk says that he took the gzei izim and put it on his hand. So his children mida keneged mida took the shnei gzei seirei izim and dipped Yosef's coat in the blood to trick him. So it's all midah k'neged midah, showing you that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wasn't, in the long arc of history, you know, was not so thrilled with this. Another source would be source 20, and it can be the Gemara. Sorry, this is a Medrash, I'm sorry. It says, Amar Rechina, Kol Mishu Omesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vaitron, that Hashem lets things slide. That his innards should slide, you know. Ella meaning ma'arich apeh, Hashem postpones his anger, you know, v'gabe delay, but he collects. Hashem collects, and it quotes zaka achat hizik Yaakov le'esav. Yaakov, because of his actions, caused Esav. Where, and if you look on the sword 4, I said it in blue. Vayitzak tzakah gdola umura ad ma'od. So too, a descendant of Esav, that who is Esav's grandchild, is Amalek. Haman comes from Amalek. So the descendant comes along and causes Klal Yisrael, vayitzak tzakah gdola umura ad ma'od in Megillas Esther. So you see, it's midah k'neged midah, and he's getting punished for Yaakov, or Yaakov's descendants are getting punished. It sounds like midah k'neged midah for those actions of the deceitful actions. Source 21 just was saying that Amalek was the grandchild of Esav. And then you see in source 22, when Yaakov is coming back after 20 years, so you see that he's trying to make amends for taking the bracha. He's trying to just return the bracha back to Esav. The bracha said, "V'yishtachavu l'cha b'nei imecha." right? That we're going to be, you know, and you think I got the bracha, and you and your children, Esav, are going to be bowing down to me. Now, vayishtachu atzashev upon him. Yaakov is bowing down to Esav. I'm giving you, here, let that bracha that I got be fulfilled in you. I'll bow down to you. You don't have to bow down to me. I'm bowing down to you. It was a very physical bracha, you know, and it had these presents. I'm giving these presents and this money back to you. And he says it so clearly in Yud Aleph, Kachnad Birchati. You know, take back the bracha. You know, so again, through the long arc of history, you see that nothing, you know, he didn't gain from it. He was actually punished from it, and possibly, and you also see that Yaakov wanted to give it back after 20 years to Esav. Okay, the next sources are going to discuss the topic of why, possibly give some reasons of maybe why Rivka didn't discuss this nevuah, let's say, with Yitzchak. So the first I want was a netziv, was an Emek Dova at the end of Chayisara. And she says, he says that Rivka grew up with Besuel, with Lavan. Those were her models. And she's coming back with Eliezer. The first time she meets Yitzchak, Yitzchak is davening Mincha. She's never seen this an image of such a holy image of a person in Tefillah that she literally, if you look in source 23, Vatipoma al Hagamal, she falls off her camel. She's just and then the end of the next pasuk, Vatikach Hatzaifa Vatikas, she covers her face. And the Netziv wants to say that this covering never was lifted in the marriage between Rivka and Yitzchak. He says in source 24, Umeyaz Vahala Nikva Biliba Pachad Mimenu, that Rivka was afraid of Yitzchak. V'lo ita im Yitzchak kmo Sora im Avram v'racha im Yaakov. They didn't have Rivka and Yitzchak's relationship was different than the other avot and the imahot, which were more free flowing, and the wife could speak to the husband and be honest and have open discussions. That wasn't the relationship of Rivka, the Netziv says, to our husband Yitzchak. Asher biyot lahem ezek pteida aleim oshinu edaya lo boshul ledeber what reish taftat retet lifneham mashen king Rivka. So he wants to say that's one reason why they didn't talk. You know, there was this veil and separation between Rivka and Yitzchak. Rav Meidan pointed to the next source and he says the nevuah was given to Rivka, and he's going to quote a source is that if you don't have, you only can share it if you have permission from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know, to share it. And if it's not, then it's not yours to share. And he says that when Yosef, when you're exactly right, when Yaakov was sitting and mourning his son Yosef, so Yitzchak, Rashi, it's just Rashi says Yitzchak was crying with him. It's Vayikos so Aviv. The Aviv is Yitzchak crying with Yaakov over the death of Yosef. But as soon as he finished crying, he got up. Yitzchak got up, washed his face, ate when he wasn't in front of his son, and he anointed himself. Why? Because he knew b'nevuah. Yitzchak knew b'nevuah that Yosef was still alive. But when he was with Yaakov, he's crying with him over Yosef. But he says v'ulama lo gilalo. So if Yitzchak has this nevuah that Yosef is real, is alive, why doesn't he tell Yaakov that, you know, stop mourning? Yosef's alive. I have this nevuah. Yosef is alive. He didn't, because Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu. So Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo gila lo vani megalalo. Amar, I'm sorry. Yitzchak said HaKadosh Baruch Hu lo gila lo vani megalalo. Hashem didn't tell Yaakov that Yosef's alive. He only told me. So I'm not going to share it with Yaakov if Hashem didn't share it, you know, with him. So again, so Rav Meidan thought Rivka didn't share it with her husband because she didn't have that permission. Rav Ari Khan in source 26 just raised another, you know, psychological reason, and she says, if I was told that this son Esav is not going to make it in the family, is that really something that I want to share with my husband? Do I want to prejudge? If he knows, that's going to sort of like stunt almost like the love that he can give to the boy. If he already knows that, you know, the boy is going to, you know, is going to fail and get kicked out.
Does a little new agey for the
right, guy. Okay. Does Rivka choose not to share the property she has received with her husband in order to assure that he would nurture Esav without prejudice or the burden of foregone conclusions? So it's another reason. Maybe, you know, maybe he didn't, you know, it's not good, you know, for, you know, it's not the best for a father to know that they already know that it's a foregone conclusion that their son is gonna, you know, get kicked, is bad-seeded and gonna get kicked out of the family. So so those were three reasons, maybe why. Okay, so if under that idea, Rivka knew that it's two nations and Esav is not part of the nation, but Yitzchak is operating, we said, under the conception that the two of them are going to stay part of Am Yisrael. Esav is going to be part of Am Yisrael. And like we said, if there's going to be, I know the nature, and this is switching. And previously we're saying he was fooled and he really didn't understand the nature of Esav. Now we're saying he understood 100% the nature of Esav, but he thought they're both going to be in the family, and therefore I'm going to give the spiritual bracha to the spiritual son, and I'll give the physical bracha to the physical son. And that was what, if you look in the last page, if you look at, I highlighted it in yellow, so the first bracha which he gave to Yaakov when he's thinking that it's Esav, so it's a bracha that he thought to give to Esav, is a physical bracha. V'yitein lecha Elokim mital ha-shamayim u'mishmanei ha-aretz v'rov dagon v'tirosh. You know, give him all this prados. Yavtuch la'amim yishchuv lecha lumim habeg v'yir lachech v'yishchuv lecha b'nei imecha orecha oror v'orecha orov. But the bracha v'yitein lecha mital ha-shamayim u'mishmanei ha-aretz v'rov dagon v'tirosh. It's a physical bracha. The bracha, you know, that he says at the end, when he's blessing Yaakov, is the Berkas Avram. And the Berkas Avram is Zera and Aretz. It's the Lecha Ulzera, Lecha Lirishcha, to Eretz Megurecha. So that spiritual bracha was always, even when Esav said, don't you have another bracha to give me? And the father says, no, there's no other, your brother came to Mimra. He does have another bracha to give. He has the Berkas Avram to give. But it was never in, Yitzchak never thought of giving, Yitzchak of course knew the nature of Esav and wasn't going to give him the Berkas Avram. He just wanted to give him, the Berkas of Gashmi Esav Yitain Lecha. Yeah.
אבל עכשיו הערה עקרונית, חיכיתי מההתחלה, היא יותר מדקה קצת, אני מצטער. כל הדבר הזה שאנחנו עושים פה, ושהיהודים והפרשנות עשתה כל השנים, מזכירה לי קצת את ההתייחסות של מדינת ישראל למלחמת יום כיפור. מה הפירוש? יש מציאות, יש ידיעה שהמצרים הולכים לתקוף אותנו, אבל יש קונספציה שזה לא יכול להיות, לא יכול להיות שהם יתקפו אותנו. אז יש פירושים מכל הכיוונים, אנוכי, עשיו וחורך, כל דבר אפשר להגיד, כי יש קונספציה שהמצרים, הסורים, לא יתקפו אותנו. יש פה דבר פשוט, אני אקח דוגמה אחת, רק אנוכי עשה ורואיך באמת, אם אתה תשב בחדר שלך, תהיה דפיקה בדלת, תשאל מי זה, והבן שלך יגיד, חיים, הבכור שלך. כשתפתח את הדלת, דברים שזה משה, ילד הקטן, תגיד, אני אמרתי רק, חיים, אבל זה הבכור. אתה תיתן לו אוף ליק, או שתגיד לו מה, לא תקבל את זה כי זה בלתי אפשרי. והדבר שצריך להגיד, אני חושב, שמעתי את זה מפרופסור יואל סימון באוניברסיטה, יש לנו בעיה פשוט, איך שאנחנו רואים בכלל את היחס בין פשט לדרש. המדרש לפעמים ממלא גאפס כזה שיש בטקסט, אבל לפעמים רואים כמו פה שזה בכלל שני מסוגים שונים לגמרי, וההסבר שלו, ואני חושב שזה ההסבר הפשוט, לפי הטקסט של הסיפור שלנו, לפי הפרק חזיים, מדובר על אנשים. זה יעקב וזה עשיו. ולפי חזיים לא מדובר על יעקב ועשיו, מדובר על עמים, על עם ישראל, ועל אדום, ועל הנצרות. והמדרש צריך בכל כוח שהוא לסנגר על עם ישראל, שהוא לא כמו שהגויים אומרים עליו, שהוא משקר כדי להשיג. רכוש ודברים וכו' וכו'. המדרש בצדק צריך לעשות את זה, והוא עומד על הראש כדי לעשות את זה. אבל זה לא משנה את מה שכתוב בטקסט, שיעקב אמר שהוא עשיו וכו'.
Okay. So let's, so now in the last page, and I try to color code a bit, so if Esav, so now this is an idea from Rav Ari Kahn, and he says, this is in the idea in red. It says, he asks, HaKol Kol Yaakov V'Yadayim Yidei Esav. So if there is some sort of hesitancy, because he's getting mixed signals. The sound sounds like, you know, Yaakov, but the hands feel like Esau. So why didn't he just wait until, you know, until the situation is a little bit more clarified? Why is he goes ahead and gives the bracha? That was one question. Also, why, before he was about to, Yitzchak was going to give the bracha, why does he send Esav out to hunt, which is the lead Sayyid? So, according to Rav Ari, what?
He needed a reason to give him a bracha.
Okay, so Rav Kahn wanted to say, that again, he's under the impression that Esav is going to be, I know who Esav is, you know, but I want to make him, he's very physical, but I want to raise his physicality and imbue in it some spirituality. Let him become like a Yisachar, a Zvulun in a Yisachar Zvulun relationship. Let him use his talents for the, so therefore, Vitzuda Lid Sayyid was, he was trying all those years. When Esav was growing up, he was constantly trying to educate him to take his nature and add spirituality to it. So therefore, he told him to his natural thing to hunt, and he was like adding it a tzivoy of kabeda tabichaveti mecha, or just feed a blind elderly man an act of chesed. So he was trying to take those Esav's nature and his acts and try to imbue spirituality. So when the reason why he didn't wait when he says Hakol Kol Yaakov Yadayim Yidei Esav, Rav Kahn flipped it 180 degrees. It wasn't a question of ambiguity. He thought, Yitzchak thought he succeeded in his education. All these years, I'm trying to get Esav to become more spiritual. All of a sudden, Esav is in front of me, and I have Hakol, and he's speaking with Hashem's voice, and Hashem, he's adding Hashem's name in it. I think I succeeded. And he said, and he's beautiful. He says, Hakol Kol Yaakov Yadayim Yidei Esav. Esav's all right, but he's speaking with the Kol of Yaakov. I've succeeded in my education approach, and therefore he gives the bracha without hesitation. Instead of waiting, because I don't know, is it Yaakov, is it Esav? He thinks it's Esav, and he thinks he succeeded, because all his life he was trying to get an Esav to be imbued with the Kol of a Yaakov, and now finally it was imbued with the Kol, and therefore he thought it succeeded. So that was...
As a father, you could never say that to your son. Oh, you're finally acting like Yaakov. Could you imagine Esav would go crazy?
Right. But, so then, okay, so now let me just, lastly, let me just end with the green. And this was Rav Forman's idea. So again, Rav Forman was very troubled by the ethical dimension of it, but he asked the following questions. If, and he gave this answer to it. He says, if you think, all this time we're saying, that Rivka and Yaakov were plotting to deceive their father. That's it. They're planning to deceive their father. So if that's true, he asks the following three or four questions. He says, in green, look in green, towards the bottom, it says, after he says, your brother now is upset at you, he's going to kill you, so you have to run away, you know, to get a wife, run away from here. And it says, you'll come back, ad shuv af achicha, to your brother, you know, calms down, till Esav calms down, mimcha v'shachach, and Esav will forget eight asher asiti lo. What you...
Asita lo. I like the way she stepped out of the picture.
That's exactly what he was asking. What you did to him. What we did to, it was your idea. What do you mean? Rivka is throwing Yaakov under the bus. Look what you did to Esav. You know, so the question is, you know, what did we do? Unless you say that the we at the beginning and the plan of the beginning really wasn't to trick their father. Okay, and that's going to be the punchline. But we're going to get the punchline. This, let me just show what he says. Again, it's an idea. And then the next thing he says, look, Yaakov is complaining with this, and says, "Vayiti be'enav kemita adeya." Maybe my father will touch, you know, and I'll be like I just. What do you mean you'll be like your deceiver? You are deceiving him. What do you mean you'll be like a deceiver? You're 100%, you know, deceiving him. Again, if that was the plan. And then, what does that mean? Alai kilatcha b'ni. I'll take the credit. If what are the chances that Yitzchak's not going to find out? Zero. There's zero chance that, you know, that this plan, if we want to deceive your father, is not going to work. So why is she so, if she's so important, she wants to get the bracha to Yaakov, why is she then so flippant with the curse? and says, I like Alavcha, she's so flippant with that curse, it's 100% going to happen that he's going to find out. And if, so again, all these questions might be answered that the game plan, let me just finish, the game plan was not to deceive the father. So what was the game plan? If you look, even again from the green, when he says, she says the following, Lechna el atzon, please my son, Yaakov, go to the tzon. Mekachli misham shnei gidei izim tovim. Ve'aseh osam matamim la'avicha kasher ha'ev. Pasuk yud. And do what? Ve'edesa la'avicha, bring it to your father. Va'achal, and he can eat. Ba'avor asher yivarecha lefnei moto. That he can bless you before he dies. It doesn't say anything about stealing Esav's bracha. It doesn't say anything about standing up and being Esav. Wait, we'll get to it. You know, and tricking him into him thinking that you're Esav. All she was wanted to do was send her son to her father, his father, to get a bracha. So, but now, because look, it goes back now to the very source one in green. If you go turn the page right, all the way back to the beginning in the green, and it says the pasuk. What says? I think Yitz mentioned it. It says in the when Esav was born, it says Vayikru Shemo Esav. They both Rivka and Yitzchak named Esav Esav. However, when it came to Yaakov. Only Yitzchak named Yaakov Yaakov. So, but the mother Rivka never said, "I'm not going to define Yaakov by being second best, by a person who's holding on to the heel, by a person a heel he wants to say is curved and is not straight and is always whatever, not either not Yashar, you're a heel, you're grabbing on, you're only coming second best." You're not, you're just being related to your brother. I'm not defining Yaakov that way. You named him, Yaakov. I'm not looking at that boy that way. So now, what it means is, here's the time. Your father's giving out a bracha. Stand up for yourself. Say, why did I like Esav? Esav is from Asui. Asui means, complete, but he's a doer. He's a, so Esav, we were talking, does things, and he's a doer. So you, show your father that you're not just in a cave, you're not just holding on and being second best, but you also can be a doer and stand up and get your bracha. Not to take away Esav's bracha. Look, Hashem also blessed, Yishmael. But it's in Gamba Rahu. But but you at least, you get your bracha too. So he says, go in front of your father and ask for the bracha. And show your father that you too can be a doer. So, right? So then he says, but maybe I'll be in front of he's gonna touch me. He's gonna feel my, I'm gonna tell him I'm a doer, but my hands are so smooth. He's gonna laugh at me. You're a doer. Your hands are smooth. You've never done a day of work in your life. So the mother is trying to scaffold the child, and so he says, "Okay, I'll put some skins on you." Again, not so much to try to take, that's where it goes off. That's where it goes off. That's where Yaakov takes the original plan and goes off. So that's why she said it was Asisi Lo, what you did. This is not the plan. The plan is, look, you go ahead and you get your bracha. The plan is, okay, you're nervous, you're going to say you're a doer and get your bracha, you're too smooth, okay, we'll put some hair. And then I'll put some clothes on because the clothes make the man. But really, all I want you to do, I never said that you should present yourself like Asa, but you should say, I'm a doer too, and, so give me a bracha too. But when he's standing there and his father asks him, who are you? And he says, Mi'ata b'ni, then all of a sudden, that's where the plan went off, according to right. And he says, I said, Anochi Esav b'chorecha, and that was not the plan. That wasn't the original plan. And since it wasn't the original plan, she wasn't worried that she was going to get cursed, because there's nothing to get cursed about. All he's asking is for a bracha himself. He's not stealing and being deceitful or trying to take something away from someone else. He's not saying, Kim mamat mea. It's like tricking him. It's not because I'm tricking him, like I haven't worked a day. My skin is so smooth. I haven't worked in a day of my life, and I'm trying to say I'm a doer. That's what it means, and that's why it says till your brother come back. Wait till you come back. Till your brother will forget what you did for him, because it's you did it for him. You all of a sudden panicked and went into that mode more than, but that wasn't the plan. And, the question. Yeah.
What? זה לא משהו שהוא על כל הפרשה, זה על מה שנאמר לפני זה, שעשיו אומר, יקרבו ימי אבל אבי, והרגה את... הוא לא, היא לא אומר שהוא יהרוג את רבקה, אז היא לא צריכה להזכיר את זה, היא לא קשורה לעניין. הוא רוצה להרוג את יעקב, אחיו,
right.
לפני זה, אז היא אומרת, מה שעשית לו, על זה שהוא רוצה להרוג אותך, זה אחד. אחר כך היה כאן, והייתי בעיניו כמתעתע, כאילו שזה רעיון של יעקב, לפני זה קודם כל היא אומרת ליעקב, שמעתי שיצחק אומר לעשיו, לך אבל אם אתה מי, למה היא צריכה להגיד לו את ההקדמה הזאת בכלל? היא תגיד לשמע בקולי שמראה לפני מותי, היא אומרת לו שזה בניגוד לזה שעשיו אמור להתברך, אתה אמור להתברך. והדבר האחרון שאמרת, והיית בעיניו כמדעתיה, 100% שהוא יהיה, ולכן למה כמדעתיה, הוא לא מדבר יעקב על הפיוטר, על העתיד, מה יקרה כשעשיו יגיע, הוא מדבר באותו רגע. הוא אומר, אולי אם הוא שן יביא, ואז אני אהיה כמדעתיה, והבאתי עליי כללה ולא ברכה, לא בעתיד. בברכות עצמם זה לא יעבוד. אין פה שום דבר שמחובר למציאות. זה רעיון ועוד רעיון, אבל אין נקודה אחת פה.
I saw one thing I heard from Rabbi Dan was also, how do we know that you know Chazal look at like at Esav and being so doing the mitzvah of kibud av v'em on such a high level? You know, he wanted to say it was from this. He, what do we know about him? Instant gratification, and he's a hunter, he's a killer. So when he got wronged, what is he wants to do right away? He wants to kill. He wants to kill. Really, according to his nature, he should kill Yaakov and kill Yaakov immediately, right now, instant gratification. But even Rivka misunderstood the depth of the kibud av that Esav had for his father. She thought he's going to kill him today. You have to run away because he's going to. And he didn't want to cause this pain to his father. I'm not going to do it till he delayed his gratification, till his father would die, not to cause his father that pain. But imagine if Rivka understood this, 20 years he could have spent with his father. So that's...
Say that Esau was a Hasidic Rebbe.
Okay.
He had 400...